Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
We got a lot of callers on the Yankees, the Mets. What do they need to do? How can they move forward into the future? Who's the manager? Who stays? Who goes? Fire this guy, fire that guy. And so we had to bring on someone who played in New York City. We had to bring on someone who's won four championships, been an all-star, been a reliever, actually played in the Yankee organization under Cashman, all that good stuff. He's now an analyst. It's no one other than Jeff Nelson. Jeff, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Absolutely. Thank you for taking the time to hop on. Appreciate it.
My pleasure.
No, there's obviously a lot going on. I have some questions for you as well about the American League Championship Series. We'll get into it, but this is an unrelated question to baseball, Jeff. Don't sweat too much. But do you think the New York Giants stand a chance against the Rams tomorrow?
No. I watched them against the Cowboys, and then once they had a few injuries, I was like, there's no chance. Plus, the Rams are good. I mean, they have a good team.
They're damn good. Matthew Stafford looking good.
Yeah.
So, Jeff Nelson, there's our obligatory New York Giants question. Thank you for your football expertise.
I would like for them to do well because I lived in Seattle for 20 years and played for the Mariners for a long time. So, I'm kind of a Seahawk fan, so that would really help out the Seahawks. Even though they're not doing well either, I would love to see the Giants win, but I don't know if that's going to happen.
And well, Jeff, I think up in Seattle, man, you might need to play quarterback for the
exactly.
You know that guy. We know all about Geno Smith here. I don't know how that's going to work. Sunday Night Football with Geno Smith, not all that exciting. Jeff Nelson is here with us. So we got the football out the way, Jeff. Man, I've taken so many calls about what the Yankees should do, and we know. There's a lot of Yankee fans who want bloodshed. You know, Cashman has to go and Boone has to go. Jeff, I have to ask you, when you hear these comments, what comes to your mind? What do you think?
Well, I think, you know, if you look into last year in the wintertime and the way Brian Cashman constructed the team, you know, there was a lot of questions of why he did it that way. You know, you look at the Yankees in the past, and they've always, when they've won world championships, they've always had really dominant left-handed power. And going into the 2021 season, they didn't have that. They weren't constructed very well in the wintertime. But at the trade deadline, I thought he did an outstanding job. I mean, by getting Gallo, even though he strikes out a ton, but Anthony Rizzo was the one that I said, okay, this guy in the middle of the lineup or right in the beginning of the lineup, I said, that's a key guy right there. And I really liked what Brian Cashman did at the trade deadline. I wish he would have done that in the winter. But still, you know, they gave him a shot at getting to the playoffs, just not winning the division. And I think when you have a payroll of over $200 million or close to it, you know what? You can't let a team like Tampa with a $60 million payroll win the division. I mean, I thought the Yankees were going to be best team in the American League and maybe right there with the Dodgers, and it just didn't happen. Now, as far as Aaron Boone, I don't know what they plan on doing. You know, he's a good friend of mine. I've played with him, his brother, his dad. You know, it seems like there's always, when you don't make the playoffs, you win one World Series in 21 years, there's always that, okay, it's time to make a change. Now, they've already made changes or let three coaches go. Who knows what's going to happen here in the next couple weeks once the World Series is done.
Jeff Nelson is here with us on The Fan. Obviously, yeah, they let go of three of his coaches. Aaron Boone is still here. We have fans who take a look and say, everybody has to go. But I take a look at what you just said. It boils down to the roster construction, and Cashman is in charge of that. But over time, like anybody, you're going to have your hits. you're going to have your misses. When you look at the roster construction, it doesn't just start or stop with left-handed power hitting versus righties. You also got to look at defense. You have to look at guys who are out of position. Where do you see other flaws with the Yankees roster construction?
Well, you know, I really liked when they moved Gleyber Torres back to second. All of his numbers that he's ever had, and especially at the plate, has been him playing second base. And when they moved him to short, I think it was a position that didn't have the greatest of range, put a lot of pressure on himself, and I think it carried over in the batter's box. And once they move him to second, then you started seeing the numbers start climbing up. And I think the power numbers will start climbing back up, too, next year if he stays at second. So, obviously, they need to go out and look at short. I don't think Gio Urshela is a shortstop. I think he's better off at third. And, you know, you have DJ LeMahieu, who played hurt. I know a lot of guys, a lot of people, a lot of fans were all over him saying, oh, this guy's, you know, 1 year, and all of a sudden he signs a deal and he gets hurt and he doesn't do well. He's not performing. But this guy is an old-school type guy and played through every single injury possible, and it cost him. It cost him some heat in the paper, heat in the field as far as the fans. But, you know, sometimes you have to do what you have to do. And as an ex-player, you kind of appreciate that. You know, you sign a guy in Aaron Hicks in center field that he has not been able to stay on the field, so that is pretty much not a great signing there. I think they need to try to find a shortstop. I don't know if they plan on trying to make Anthony Rizzo an offer, but it all boils down to how much money do they have to spend? I mean, how much money obviously they don't want to go over the luxury tax, so how much money are they able to go out and sign some key free agents? I think that's the question. And then you have the collective bargaining agreement that's up on December 1st, and who knows what's going to happen there.
Oh, that was, Jeff, that was pretty much going to be my final question, because let's hold that one, because that's the nuclear bomb that could drop on baseball for next season. As I'm trying to be hopeful here, Jeff Nelson is joining us. I like how you pinpointed someone like Gleyber Torres and how his position can affect his confidence. We heard the same thing throughout the course of the season. Having an opportunity to see Stanton in the outfield, it boosts him up. We know you are a pitcher. How realistic is it from your experiences seeing other players play the field versus DH versus the bench? Is that a massive factor for every player, or is it just, you know, happenstance, being able to play in the field? Does it keep you more in or no?
Yeah, you know, a lot of guys have a hard time in the DH role. It's very hard for them to get used to. Because they're used to, okay, if I can contribute at the plate, if I have a bad day at the plate, at least they might be able to contribute in the field. And there's so much downtime with being a designated hitter. I played with probably one of the best ones ever in Edgar Martinez, and he knew how to do that. He knew how to focus his mind when he wasn't hitting, and when it wasn't his turn at bat. He knew how to, you know, whatever he needed to do in between at-bats and the time, maybe it took a couple innings before he saw another at-bat. He knew how to, you know, focus his mind on other things. Some guys have a really hard time with it, and I've talked to other players, like, I don't like DHing. I don't know what to do. You know, I need to be out in the field and play defense. And I think with Stanton was the same thing. I think the big question mark was, he's going to be able to stay healthy. And once he went out there, he's a very good outfielder. I mean, he played in the National League, I mean, for the Marlins for years. So, obviously, he's a decent outfielder, and he's not going to hurt you defensively. So once he went out there and he showed everybody that, hey, you know what, I can stay healthy, he started swinging the bat really well. And that was a huge asset for the Yankees, and they could use that role maybe, you know, either get a void or you know, spell some guys and give them some rest as far as, okay, well, we need you in the lineup, but you know, we'll give you a rest for defensive purposes. So, yeah, a lot of guys can't handle that designated hitter role because it just messes with their head.
The same thing, I'd guess, defensively. You think about Gary Sanchez and Gleyber Torres. They may not necessarily be on the bench, but an error here or there, and they're basically out to lunch.
Right. Right. You know, I think with Gleyber, once he moved over to second, he was more comfortable. You know, Gary Sanchez is a different story, I think. You know, he's such a great talent. I really do think he's a good talent. I just don't know how much New York is good for him, or how he may not be able to handle, or obviously it seems like he's not able to handle some of the pressures that comes with playing in such a big city, such a big organization, as far as the history that the organization has. And some guys are just not suited for New York. And it seems like he may be one of those guys. I mean, he could go to somewhere else and, you know, he'll probably be a superstar with another team. And all the New York fans are saying, see, you know, why couldn't he do it here? Well, he just can't do it in New York. It's a special place. It takes a special person to be able to go through the pressures of New York. And he might not be able to handle that.
Jeff Nelson is here with us. We've gotten a lot of calls about the roster construction, and it's real easy for people to play GM and say, well, we can trade this guy and that guy. One of our callers prior to you coming on, he was an advocate for the New York Yankees to trade Aaron Judge. And I'm saying to myself, well, I don't know if I'd do that. I'd tender him a, you know, 5-year deal, see if he take it, give him $30 million and kind of keep it moving. What do you think about Judge and what his future might look like now that he's coming up on his final season?
Yeah, you know, I don't think the Yankees really need to act right now as far as trying to sign him to a long-term deal. I think he was healthy this year, and that was a huge plus because he hasn't been in the previous years besides his rookie season. I think you have to almost roll the dice in a way and say, you know, as much as I want him here, I'd love to see him here. He's a very good talent. He's one of the faces of the Yankees, maybe even in baseball. But you want to see him healthy again. You want to see if he can put 2 years in a row and stay in the lineup and play your 145 to 155 games. And if he can do that, then, you know, at age 31, which he'll be when he's a free agent, then you go out and you try to make him an offer. I'm sure he wants to stay here. I'm sure he would love to be a Yankee maybe for the rest of his career. It's just I don't think they really need to do anything with him now. It's, you know, he's under control. Just wait and see how healthy he stays. And I would definitely not trade him. You know, there's some other assets maybe in that lineup that you could trade, but definitely not Aaron Judge.
Yeah, I heard that and I had to go, what? You want to trade him for who? You know, is it some 18-year-old kid that we don't know about in, I don't know, Saskatchewan, somewhere? Like, what are we doing?
Right,
so
right.
It's weird. Well, Jeff, let me ask you about the team crosstown from the Yankees. Man, for all the conversations that are had about Cashman and Boone, you can look at the New York Mets. They are basically starting from scratch. They have a question mark at president, GM. You look at some of their free agents and holes to fill. How long can we realistically expect the New York Mets to wait on a candidate? And are they going to be at a disadvantage similar to last year?
You know, I don't think so. It's a division. It's a very winnable division. I thought the Eastern Division and the NL was going to be one of the tougher ones, but with four great teams, and even the Marlins, you know, they got in after a 60-game season a couple years ago. But it's a winnable division. And I think almost to me, I would like to see an old-school manager go in there, someone that's able to manage the bullpen well. And I think that was with Rojas, he really had a hard time managing the bullpen, and I think he could shake his – a lot of people were scratching their head saying, what is he doing? What kind of moves is he making? And then you hear, you know, the Mets want to go out and they want to try to, you know, there's rumors about Correa or whatever. And they already have Lindor. I mean, Lindor was just, maybe it's just one of those first year being in New York again, putting some pressure on himself, maybe signing that big deal, thinking, okay, this is what I have to live up to. And it didn't work out too well for him. I think they're a very good team. I mean, you look at their pitching, you know, you're going to have a question mark in DeGrom. Can he stay healthy? Hopefully nothing happens that he doesn't have to have Tommy John at some point or even Syndergaard, is he going to come back and be a number two, number three? You have what Stroman's even a free agent, so you're going to have to improve that starting rotation a little bit. But as far as a manager, I would like to see an old school guy in there. I mean, I really wish they would have signed Girardi. I think Girardi would have been a perfect sign for New York, and maybe you would have had a better result there over in Queens.
Okay, Jeff Nelson is here with us. Jeff, you're the perfect guy to ask. You talk about bullpen management. That's where you made your bones, coming out of the bullpen and holding the lead and helping, whether it was the Mariners or the Yankees or what may have you, just go on and win and win championships. We've seen the role of the manager change over the years. Depending on who you talk to, we have a lot of managers who are glorified extensions of the front office. They don't necessarily have the same influence. From your perspective, have you seen the role of the manager change? Is it universal across Major League Baseball, or do you quote unquote have to be an old school guy to be an exception?
No, I don't think it's universal throughout the league. Because if you watch some of these managers that are in the playoffs now, you know, you look at Alex Cora. I think he's a guy that not only uses analytics, but he also uses the feel part. And I think managing is a lot on feel. You know, you have to have a gut feeling on certain moves. You can't let the computer decide every single move that you're going to make, whether what pitcher to put in, how long to keep the starter in, or you know, do I rest a guy that all of a sudden he's starting to swing the bat well? You know, I think it's not universal. I think there's a lot of clubs that, you know, you look at the front office and their lineup is handed down to them. And they go, okay, this guy hits this, you know, like this well in a certain spot in the lineup, and we're going to put him there. And then all of a sudden we're going to shuffle him around. And for a bullpen guy, okay, once the starter gets through and hits the third time around the lineup, we got to get him out, and this is the guy we want to put in. So I think the feel part of it is sometimes lost with a lot of managers. You know, I was talking to Joe Torre, and that's all he managed on. It was feel. I mean, he had a gut feeling of everything he did. He knew the exact players that got him to a championship and what they were able to handle, the pressures that they were able to handle. And he even said, he says, I don't know if I could manage today. You know, it's just everything is being told to you, and this is what the moves have to be and the feel part. I mean, he said it perfect. He says, this is, you're trying to make an imperfect game perfect. You're never going to make any sport, whether it's football, basketball, hockey, baseball, you're never going to be able to make it a perfect game. And I think sometimes these computer guys are trying to make it a perfect game. You're just not going to be able to do it.
Do you think that that is a situation with the New York Yankees over the past 20 years where even in their perspective, you played under Torre? You said it, it's all feel. Do you think they've gotten away from that where sometimes the decisions are kind of passed down?
I think occasionally, yes. You know, I do. I think sometimes when you watch some of the moves and what they do, you know, you kind of scratch, even as an ex-player, I kind of scratch my head. You know, I never will understand why, you know, guys can't hit the other way with shifts and go the other way when they're men on base and, you know, exploit that hole on one side of the infield. I'll never understand why they don't do that. I mean, everybody, you know, there's statistics and analytics about, okay, this is how we play each other. But I do feel that it's been lost just a little bit. I mean, you watch the moves and you're like, okay, well, why is he doing that? And, you know, maybe it's told, okay, this is what the computer says for me to do. And I think it has been lost a little.
Jeff Nelson is here with us. A few more questions. We see the American League Championship Series are getting ready to go into their second game as the Red Sox are in Houston taking on the Astros. What are your thoughts on this matchup and this game so far? Obviously, we saw Correa and Altuve hit their home runs last night. How do you see the rest of the series going?
I think offensively you have two great offensive teams, I think, with the Red Sox and the Astros. It's the Yankees' probably worst nightmare that you have these two teams that are in the ALCS. But it's all going to come down to pitching. It's a shame that Chris Sale, he's been so dominant over the years, and he's just coming back from Tommy John. And, you know, he can't go deep into the game. And I think on the other side, with the Astros lost McCullers, well, their top pitcher, it's going to come down to what starting pitching can shut the other offense down. And like, what was it, last night, 5-4, the Astros are on top. You know, I see it going 6-7 games, because I just don't see either side having the starting pitching that might be able to shut down the opposing offense. I mean, you have two really good offensive teams.
Yeah, slugfest. When you think about the National League, obviously the Braves are the little engine that could against these Dodgers. Do they get a little bit of revenge from last year, or do they get smacked back down into place?
No, I think they have a shot. You know, I think they definitely have a shot. They're one of those teams that took them a while to get going there during the year. And once they did, they took the NL East and just kept rolling with it. And their pitching has really showed up. That's been a really pleasant surprise for them. They have a really good offensive team. It's a shame Acuna Jr. is out and not on TV, that everybody can watch how good this kid is. But he's out for the whole year with his knee problem or his ACL. But I signed out of high school with the Dodgers, and I kind of root for him. But at the same time, I'd like to see the Braves maybe go to the World Series. So I'm kind of mixed with this.
Well, it's a hell of a bounce back if you consider the first half of the Braves season. Man, they were just like win-loss, win-loss,
yeah.
Win-loss. And then they certainly got hot as the season moved towards a conclusion. Who do you ultimately have winning the World Series?
Oh, my goodness. I think both National League teams have better pitching, and they have really good offenses as well. I think one of the National League teams winds up winning, whether it's the Dodgers or the Braves. And like I said, I'm kind of mixed on them. And, you know, I'd love to see Freddie Freeman get a chance. He's one of the most underrated players, I think, in baseball. And he doesn't get a lot of looks, you know, probably around baseball. He's probably one of the best first basemen and most exciting players that I like to see. But I would like to see, I think a National League team, one of the Dodgers or the Braves win this thing.
Okay, Jeff Nelson is here with us. A couple more questions. What do you think about the openers and the closers? We saw an opener basically start the game for the Dodgers the other night, and we saw one of the most dominant starters close the game. What do you think about that trend as baseball has moved forward?
It's disappointing because it's like, okay, how come you can't develop enough starters to be able to pitch in a playoff or even during a season? You know, I know injuries sometimes take its toll, and with Kershaw being out, that kind of hurt them. I mean, they're going with an opener again tonight because they just don't have a starter against the Braves. So it's disappointing because you would think that these organizations would be able to not just five starters, but I mean, you need more than five throughout the whole season, and these guys are using openers. It's really hard to ask five or six guys coming out of the bullpen for every single one of them to be perfect. It always seems like, okay, maybe three out of the five or four out of the five, but one of those relievers or openers or whatever you want to call them will wind up giving up some runs. It's just hard to ask. It's a lot to ask.
Well, Jeff, I want to throw us back, and I want to conclude on this nuclear option that you unfortunately brought up. A lot of people, it's been pushed to the back of their minds. The Major League Baseball CBA is going to expire when the season is done. Do you think we're going to have a fresh start towards next season? Are we going to have a delay? Are we going to have a full season? What do you think based on anything you might have heard?
Well, I haven't heard anything, but I hope that it doesn't happen. I hope there's not a stoppage. I don't think baseball can afford, after COVID last year and having 60 games and the game changing in a way that it turns some people off and you're losing viewers anyway. If all of a sudden there's a work stoppage, you know, you're going to wind up losing even more. And they're going to say, here we go. You have billion-dollar owners, billion-dollar players, and whatever. They can't come to some sort of agreement. I hope, and I know they've been talking, I hope that they come to an agreement and spring training starts on time and the season starts on time. It's a great game, and you don't want any kind of work stoppage or any kind of shortened season, and you definitely don't want to lose fans.
Jeff Nelson's been hanging out here with us, former All-Star, former World Series champ four times. Jeff, where can people keep up with you and all the things that you're up to, man?
Well, I was doing TV with the Marlins, and who knows what happens with that, but it's always a new season, and I was doing a podcast for the New York Post, the Pinstripe Pod there, and of course that ended because the Yankees got knocked out. So, you know, I'm around. I love staying in the game and trying to describe it to the fans and, you know, coming on with you guys every once in a while.
No doubt about it. Well, Jeff, thank you so much for your one-of-a-kind perspective. You enjoy the rest of the afternoon. Don't watch too much of those Seahawks tomorrow night, okay?
No, I'm going to try to catch a little bit of it, but hopefully I'm not too disappointed.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.